mandi da ke ke ko kaka mandi ke 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 gigi 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 ya 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 ya
ya ya ya ya ya
ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya ya And ask God to touch you. The touch of God is nothing that will happen and you are not aware of it. The touch of God is more pungent than the burning of an acid. If it happens in your life, you don't need anybody to tell you before you will know that God touched you. I want you to pray tonight and ask the Spirit of God to touch you. A definite touch, a particular touch, an undeniable touch. Open your mouth and pray. Reke teke teke. Baligadia. Balita. 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 Brata. 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 Baratata. 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 Barua. Barada. 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 Efrata. 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 Dilatos. Dilatos. Iketela hafiza. Mandi konten gamondi taboli. Bandon kalosi zenite palota. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. O God of heaven, tonight we ask for it upon a single human being in this hall tonight, the very point, the very spot that you need to touch in a head so that your heritage will not fall into reproach. We ask, we make haste to touch that spot, to touch that point before it will come further, before we will self-destruct. Touch. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to be
in a hurry. Please turn it down.
There is a burning issue on my mind that I want to bring to your notice. I want us to read from Proverbs chapter 13. Verse number 12. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Amen. There is no human being that is devoid of a specific expectation in his or her life. No matter the degree of manifestation, no matter the degree of satisfaction, no matter the degree of contentment that a man has, there is a burning issue, a troubling issue in his or her life for which he or she feels helpless.
When you look at it, people may celebrate you, people may be clapping for you, but there is a soft spot, there's an ugly spot in your life that you look at and you feel helpless. Amen. The Bible says that the issue in your life, the issue in a person's life that makes him to be in despair and in dire need has the tendency to make his heart sick. His heart. You know, the sickness of heart. The heart has the ability to be sick. Amen. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The heart has the ability to be sick. And the sickness of the heart is more terrible than migraine. Because when you are suffering migraine, or when you are suffering appendicitis, they can cut it away through surgery. But when the heart is sick, sometimes, even the encounter of God himself, there is a level that the heart will become sick that the encounter of God himself may not be able to cure that sickness. I want us to read from Genesis chapter 15. I will not bother you with the reading, but I want you to write down Genesis 15, 16, 17.
Abraham was a man that God has blessed, but there was a need in his life. There was a desire, there was a craving, there was an issue that makes every blessing in his life immaterial. There was a burning issue in his life that anytime he looks at it, whatever accolade, whatever praise, whatever claps that people are giving unto him looks miserable, looks helpless, looks meaningless. And it was the need for a child. The sense of need for a child was so great, was so huge, was so big, that nothing around his life could make sense. It so happened that God had an encounter with him, and God spoke to him mouth to mouth, face to face, ear to ear. No man had been given such privilege, or not many human beings had been given that kind of privilege. But this man enjoyed that privilege. God himself, the God of heaven and earth, suspended every activities and decided to come and talk with only one man. The man will ask him, he will respond. The man will ask him another question, he will speak back. And that dialogue continued for a very long time. And God spoke to him in such a way that nothing ugly can escape that kind of meeting that happened. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying at all? You don't understand what I'm saying. I am talking about God. I am not talking about the president of this nation or the governor of this state. God himself came down and he engaged a man in a discussion for a very long time. And then he talked to him about what he will do with his life, about the great thing he will do through him, about the fact that his counsel was going to prosper in this life through him. And he spoke at length with him. He demanded him of some sacrifice. He complied. He asked him questions. He clarified his doubts. Every doubt in his heart was answered. But you see, there was a sickness that his heart was suffering. A sickness of childlessness. You know, it is possible for you to be childless, and then that childlessness will give you the sickness that comes from the deferment that you suffer on account of that childlessness. It is also possible that you are childless, but you don't suffer. That situation didn't give you any sickness. Didn't give you any sickness of the heart. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? But this was a man that was childless, and the situation of childlessness gravitated into a state of sickness, and God himself encountered him and talked with him, but it was not able to handle his situation. So the man left there after the discourse, after the encounter with God, and the next thing that happened was that he went and
He went straight to the sleep gear in his house and slept with her. Amen. Are you? He went straight to where? Some of you think that the answer to sin, the answer to indecision of life, is a mighty encounter with God. A great encounter with God may not make any difference. If you actually don't resolve, if you don't resolve with your heart, what you will do with your life. Because Abraham just ended a very big encounter with God, and he went straight from there and committed the ugliest sin ever in the history of creation. He went and slept with his slave girl in his house, and then he gave birth. I mean, the lady gave birth to what is the cause of the problem that human beings are facing now. Amen. Now, this is the issue. This is what I want to bring out. I just know it clearly that there are many of us that are in this state now. There are several things you have been expecting. There are several things you've been trusting God for. There are several things to which you interpreted the prophecies, the word of knowledge, the dreams, the encounters, the revelation that you have been having. And because those things has not come forth in compliance, in strict compliance with what you are expecting, many of us has begun to be sick in our heart. But the danger is this. The reason why this issue is very urgent and critical is because we have come to a very specific season in our life that if you don't manage the season that we have come now, you are likely going to pioneer everything that has been building up. The sickness of your heart, which you have allowed at the instance of what you are needing that is not meeting fulfillment yet, is going to bet a trend. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is going to bet a trend. It is going to pioneer an order. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That sickness is going to pioneer an order that will consume you. And it is going to consume a lot of things after you. Amen? Just as it happened in the life of Abraham. Because when you have an encounter with God and you misuse it, the ugly things that will be better from it will be more powerful. The monster that will be better from it will be more powerful than every other normal monster. Amen? That was how Abraham wasted that encounter, because of the need. So there is a prayer that I want to pray today. The issue is this: suffering, sorrow, misery, displeasure, and mourning, they are part of the processes that God has that must take its toll on you before his counsel will be established eventually. The fact that you don't know that those things will command such great weight, great pain, so that you address your mind to it, will not make any difference. Jesus Christ, speaking to the apostles in John chapter 16, verse number 20. The other day, I was enough, and I was reading the Bible at random. God spoke to me clearly. He was addressing the disciples. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Then he said, "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as the child is delivered of the, she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born." You know, there is something in English language that is called euphemism. Euphemism is a word that you use to convey a very bitter truth in a very acceptable manner. Jesus Christ had been speaking in parable. He had been speaking in inverted languages. He had been speaking in soft languages. But on this occasion, he began to speak to them in clear terms. He said there is something that you people are going to there is an order that you are going to initiate. And as part of the requirement, as part of the critical requirement of that order, you are going to suffer. You are going to have sorrow. You are going to have mourning. You are going to be confronted with situations that you will expend and exhaust all your method and everything you have at your disposal. You have exhausted it, but it will not create any single improvement on the situation. And it will be so much that you are left with nothing. You are left with nothing but to begin to cry. You are left with nothing but to begin to shed tears. You are left with nothing but to begin to be sorrowful. He said you will have sorrow. Even though the world around you may rejoice, have sorrow. Because who is the world? The world around you is listening to you. Amen. He said, the fact that the next person to you is happy and good things is happening around the person does not mean that good thing will happen to you also, because the consequence of process is not like a communicable disease. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When people begin to see result in their life, the result that somebody is seeing in his or her life is not a communicable disease. It is not an infectious disease that can jump upon you simply because you are close to that person. Because the person has exhausted his or her own process, and because he has exhausted the things that are happening in him, because you are close to the person doesn't necessarily mean it will happen to you. He said, you will face your own sorrow. But after you are done with that sorrow, with that process, your joy will come. Amen? Amen. You know, in Psalm 1, from Psalm 140, 142, from Psalm 142 and 143, there, David was almost mourning, he was almost lamenting, always lamenting, praying all manner of complaint, raising issue, raising the trouble of his life, how that things are not happening. And then from verse 142, he came to verse 142 and he said, blessed is the Lord that strengthens my hand. 144. He began to bless God that gave strength to his hand, and then that teach him the act of warfare. Because sometimes when you pray to God, he will not deliver you from the war. He will not deliver you from the bitter process, because if the process are completed, he will deliver you from it. The only thing he will do is that he will empower you. He will empower your hand. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? He will empower. He will empower your hand. He will teach you the art of warfare so that you can stand, so that you can face the situation and confront it and battle it until you fight it to a standstill. Because if you, any manifestation you enter in default of war, if you don't fight your way into triumph, and you enter into that triumph, you will definitely face that war in an aggravated measure some other time when you are not as much equipped for it as you were previously. So God refused to take him out of that battle, but he strengthened his hand. He equipped him. He taught him. He imparted him, and he strengthened him and made him to stand in the face of that warfare. And then he fought his way through it eventually. Today, I want us to pray. There is something that is called anesthesia, that when you are facing an operation, when they have to tear somebody open, they know, of course, that process is not a very sweet process. And they know that they cannot avoid it. So the only measure to ameliorate the impact of the process is to give the person an anesthesia so that he will slip away. And even if he don't slip away, but his eye is outside, he won't face the pain of the grievous process that he's facing. The process that will bet his healing, the process that will bet his deliverance. They will have to give him an anesthesia so that he will slip away. Amen? I want us to pray. I would like us to pray today. As many of us that are in a critical situation, every prophecy don't mean anything to you anymore. The word of knowledge that has been given time and again, it doesn't mean anything to you anymore. And you are ready. You are ready to do anything at all. As far as the need you have is concerned. Sir, there are many persons that are in that state. But because many of us, we sit down, we jump, we dance, we jump up and down, we don't know that people are actually in that state. But is there any witness in the house? There are many persons in our midst, there are many persons here that are going to mortgage and endanger the heritage of God that is seeking to find expression through their life. If God don't do something in their life very hot in a hurry, we may gather here. You know, recently, there is a trend that has been happening in this place. You ask this person, you say, I decided to stay away, to stay at home and observe something. You ask this person, I say, how are you doing now? He say, I went on a personal retreat. You ask another person, how have you been? I decided to stay away and to monitor things first. You ask another person, how has it been? It will hiss. You see coldness. You see that? Amen. Because there is a discontent, there is a dissatisfaction, there is a spirit of despair and discouragement that is looming very large in the heart and spirit of many persons. And today, the Almighty God will impart strength upon you. Amen. So that you will complete the process that God is taking you through. Because nobody will actually prophesy that your situation will change tomorrow. Amen. And the fact that you are coming for prayers does not mean that the situation you are facing will improve. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What I mean is this: until the process is exhausted, until the procedure is complete, God does not do his own thing in default of procedure. Amen. You know, we did law 5 years in university, but we went to law school for 1 year, and everything they taught us was procedure, 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 procedure. All the laws we did from 100 level to 500 level, it can be up to over 50 different courses. But in law school, they teach you only 4 or 5 courses, and all of them, they call it procedure. Criminal procedure, civil procedure, company procedure, this procedure, that procedure. Because everything you ever know, everything you ever believe in, they will play themselves out on proper procedure and sequence. There is no other means by which they will manifest themselves. Amen? Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, so, the news, whether you want to title it as a good news or a bad news, is this. Nobody will promise you that your situation will change after this service. But we are saying there is a grace, there is an atesia, there is an immunity, there is an inoculation that God himself will bring upon you in view of the definite process that he has charted out for your life and for which he has brought you around for this time. There is a grace that he can impact upon you that will take you through those processes, and then at the end of it all, you will enter into your joy. And that joy, he said, no man will take it away from you. Even if you yourself want to take yourself away from me, he said, no man will take it away from you. The secret to the dimension of joy that a man cannot be deprived of is the secret of an exhausted procedure. It is the secret of a completed process. If anything happens in your life in default of procedure, nobody can guarantee the longevity, the security, and the reality of anything that happened in your life. You may be laughing, but I am saying what I'm saying. I'm saying what I'm saying with all my strength. And if there's any other way I can make you understand it, I'll do it. Because anything that is done, any case that is determined in default of procedure, you can bring an appeal against it and they will upturn it. Amen? So all those things that you are angry, that there's no money, all this being angry that there's no money, being angry that there's no relationship, marital relationship, all this one that you are angry, that people that are younger than you are into relationship, they are married, they have cars. Are you there when they were going through their own procedure? Or do you think they don't have their own fire that they went through? Do you think they don't have their own fire that they went through? Or do you think that your life is the same with that person's life? Or do you know anything at all? Do you know anything at all? Do you have an idea of the course of that person's life?
Do you have an idea at all of the fire, the flame?
Even the person you think represents is a figure of accomplishment. Do you know the battle that the person is contending with? Ladies and gentlemen, now, something happened on Friday. I am saying that this part, depression, will come to you. Sorrow will come to you. Despair will come to you. If you don't know how to handle it, that is when you will suffer. You will be worse off. And I will even tell you again that it is not necessarily handled when you come to the congregation of the people, when you fast, when you pray. If you pray and you don't pray correctly, it will still not be handled. You know all this while we've been praying and praying and praying and praying, praying and praying and praying and praying. But the week that ended, I was battling with a large portion of depression. I will come to the prayers. It will not be handled. So on Friday, I refused to go out. And I began to pray. And I prayed from morning to afternoon. And when I was coming out, I was like an engine that was comprehensively overhauled. Because I came out. And I came out light. I came out happy. I came out excited. As if I had everything on it. People that don't know the secret of prayers, you know, the most disadvantaged human being on earth is not somebody that cannot acquire a 3 square meal. Whether a 3 square meal or a 4 square meal or whatever square meal, it is somebody that don't know how to actually take advantage of prayer. And I am not talking about praying. I am talking about prayer that brings result and handle the tangible issues of your life. Because we may be preaching generally and addressing everybody generally, but these things start with each individual. It starts with you understanding your life, taking hold of your life, taking charge of your life, managing it, administering it, handle the issues that comes once in a while to truncate or to intercept what God is building up. It begins with you knowing how to handle it, knowing how to manage it, and then managing it carefully until you come to the point that God will break you through eventually. And I am telling you that one of the critical requirements is called an anesthesia, an injection, an immunization that will equip you so that even God says, now, the situation you are now, I need to run a surgery on you. There's a surgery you need now. You can bring your stomach and they will tear it and you will not feel it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 to 23, the Bible says God put Adam to sleep and he took a rib from his side. And from that rib, he made a woman for him. You know why God has to put him to sleep? The process that involves the making of a woman for a man, it involves a lot of complications. You understand what I'm saying? The process of cutting the side, pulling out the rib, there are many chips, blocks, and pins that will be flying up and down. And if the man is not put to sleep, he cannot withstand it. The procedure is tedious and painful and demanding. So God put him to sleep so that he won't have to, his eyeballs will not have to be outside to watch what is happening. I want you to pray this afternoon. Tell God to give you sleep. Tell God to give you an inoculation. Tell God to give you an injection. We gather, I am talking and you are laughing. I am talking and you are laughing. But when we leave here, you go to your house and you mourn. You go to your house, you mourn. You go to your house and you say, this thing they are saying doesn't make any sense. You go to your house and you say, if it makes sense, why am I not, I don't even have school fees to pay. Money to pay my school fees. There's no money to attend to domestic practical issues. There are no money. There are no money. You understand? There are no money. There are no issues. There are people that are suffering in our midst. There are people that are suffering here. And I am telling you, there is something that God can put on you. There is a grace. There is a dimension of faith that can make you to your processes. I am talking about a compulsory process. The one that you cannot. You cannot. Jesus Christ refused to use euphemism on this count. He began to tell them plainly. You know, I've been telling you people many things that you don't understand. But on this point, this one is so capital and core that I have to tell you plainly, in plain language. Now, the process that you have come to face now, it means you will suffer. You will mourn. You will lament. You will cry. So, and the disciples say, oh, Oga, you are now telling us plainly. You are not. One of the disciples say, Oga, now you are speaking to us plainly. You no longer use the coded language. Amen. So I want us to pray. What will your need do to you? Will you impart a sickness upon you that will make you to trivialize and disregard the word that God has spoken to you clearly in order to address the issue of your life? You know, when we come here, all of us, we think that there's nothing, you will not do anything wrong until you condemn people. until you talk big things. But you don't know that people, you are facing real issues that you need to ask God. I want you to open your mouth and pray. Those things that are written in the Bible are written for our example, for whom they have come. If Abraham knows the consequence of what he was doing, he wouldn't allow it. And there is something that your need actually is the greatest bait that Satan will use to pioneer the wrongest, if there is any language like that, that Satan will use to pioneer the wrongest issue out of your life. Your need, the point of your need, is the most fertile avenue that Satan will use to pioneer the ugliest issue, the ugliest pattern, the ugliest trouble out of your life. You know, every one of us, that God wants to bring into this life through you. The Wright brothers, God used them to bring aircraft into this world, and up to tomorrow, the history of transportation, because there were these brothers that God family to bring them into this world. Beyond that kind of innovation, you, the most fertile Satan can use to pioneer an evil out of your life is at the point of your need, because he knows that the whole investment, the whole impact, the whole encounters, you are ready to trade it off in order to allow to have your need met. That was what happened to Abraham. I want us to pray and tell God, oh God, please give me grace. Oh God, please give me inoculation. Oh God, please give me injection. Oh God, please give me a vaccine that will make me to overcome this. There are many of our brethren, they are no longer around. Ask them, they say they want to seek the face of God, but it is not the face of God they are actually seeking. It is despair that is driving many of them away. I want you to open your mouth and pray like you mean it. Father, we pray today. Lord, we pray today. Lord, we pray today. Do not allow us to be consumed by our need. Raya ya 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 ya. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. You don't understand what I'm saying. What did Satan use to pioneer the Islamism in the life of Abraham? What did he use? Please speak louder. The need for a child. What did he use in pushing Esau out of massive destiny? Need for what? The need for food. The need for child. The need for a house. Nobody's saying that house, money, all those things, nobody's undermining the compelling of them. But is it not when you are alive that you can enjoy them? Is it not when you are alive and you are in the right counsel of God that you can enjoy those things properly? I want you to pray. There is a need in your life that Satan will use to ruin you. If it is not properly managed, I want you to pray now and commit those needs into the hand of God. And commit the tendency that those needs will provide the most porous, the most porous entrance, the most porous point of entrance into your life. Satan will use. I want you to pray right now and talk to God and ask Him. There are many of us, the burning need in our heart now is for relationship. The need for a wife. The need for a husband. The need for marriage. The need for a house. The need for money. The need for growth. Different of needs. And we are so consumed. We are so overtaken. We are so hypnotized by the sense of just need that nothing else is making meaning. Nothing else is making meaning. Even word that comes out from the mouth of God Himself, even encounter of God Himself. But I want you to pray and tell God to bring you help today. Take a break, a lot of shatter. Brata shatter, break it to go set it. Breto shatter, break it to go shatter. Brato shatter, boto shatter. Broto soto, loto soto. Broto shatter, loto shatter. Brata tatata. Brata tatata. Brata tatata. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. The young prophet that came from Bethel, what did Satan use in destroying him? What is it? This was somebody that embarked upon that prophetic adventure at the instance of a clear-cut word of direction from God. And God says, don't eat. Don't do what? But there was a sense, there was an appetite that was activated, and it became so hypnotizing that he don't care to even find out from God whether God will give him the leave to go ahead and eat that food. The hunger was so burning, the hunger was so compelling. And what Satan used? What? Amen. When Satan wants to shortchange and to burn out the mission of Jesus Christ, what did he use in his attempt to sidetrack him? Food. You are this. Turn this stone into bread. Turn into bread. You have, there is an appetite that is invading you. You have hunger. And you can do something about it. Just turn this stone and eat it. I am not saying you should turn into bread. Give to me. You just turn it into stone and eat it. He didn't say turn it into bread and give to me and give to people around you. He said turn it into bread, eat and eat it. Don't even bother about giving to anybody. Just. But he understand the power of need. He knows the power of scarcity. He knows the power. He knows how to take advantage of those things and then to pull people out of their destiny. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse number 35 down, it says, do not throw away your confidence which has great recompense of reward. For you have great need of patience, that after you have the will of God, you may obtain the promise. This guy was about to throw something away. The same thing he wanted to throw away was something the Bible says it has in need, great recompense. But because of the situation he was going through, his eye could not see the content, the potential, the power of what he was about to throw away. And it took an encounter for him to know that what he considered as worthless and he was about to throw away, that something was actually in it. He said, do not throw it away. Because this thing that you are about to throw away already, there is a great reward in it. because of need. I want you to open your mouth and pray. Can you open your mouth and pray now
and demand that the Spirit of God will touch you, that the hand of God will touch you, that the Lord will assist you, that the hand of God will empower you. Let him blind you to the people around. There are many of us, you look around, you look at what is happening to other persons, and you feel you are cheated, you feel God is not mindful, you feel God is not working, you feel God is not acting, you feel God has abandoned you. I want you to open your mouth and receive the injection of God. I want you to open your mouth and receive the inoculation of God. I want you to open your mouth and receive the empowerment. I want you to open your mouth and receive the strength. I want you to open your mouth and receive the quickening. Lara ta 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 ta. Brete te 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 te. Sizini toko shata.
Before I make progress, I need to expound upon the issues that our brother has raised in the prayer time. I don't know why God chose to operate in a certain way. He decided that He will sustain a mode such that our natural senses cannot perceive him. I don't know why he chose to operate that way. Because the way the devil operates is that he operates through our natural senses and speaks to us, giving us interpretations about circumstances and situations. But God will not function that way. Now, if you are going to connect with God, you are going to connect with God by faith. You are going to connect with God through the impression that is furnished by the Holy Spirit upon your heart. That's your only basis of connecting with God. And because the devil can flow through your natural senses, he has the capacity of giving you a perspective about issues. Are you still with me? Meanwhile, we are instructed in the Word of God to override the testimony that is coming from circumstances and situations with the conviction that we have received from the spirit realm. It's not something that you can do naturally. All right? Now, because the devil knows how to use your senses, your natural senses. You are actually in compatibility with the devil when you sustain a mode that gives credence to the natural senses. It means you have blotted out the impute of God, and at that point in time, the testimony that comes from your natural senses is stronger than the convictions that you have picked from the spirit realm. It's on the strength of that you can avoid that which you have received from God on the basis of an encounter to cleave to the suggestions coming through your natural senses about a circumstance, about a situation. Are you still with me? You know, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Because it is possible. If the Bible says be anxious for nothing, it means that the possibility for anxiety exists. Now, Ogbe raised some issues which I need us to see. Be anxious for nothing. Now, I hope you know the problem is not anxiety. The problem, that problem is food. Which one did you mention again? Childlessness. Huh? Relationship. That's the problem. That's the need. The need is for food. The need is for a child. The need is for what? A relationship. The need is for money. The need is for a house. That's the need. And we are not trying to downplay the necessity of these things. But what we are saying is this. What is going to destroy a man is not these needs. What is going to destroy a man is that the devil is going to operate, taking advantage of these needs. Mm-hmm. He will interact with your natural senses and give you a perspective about these needs that will make you deny God's position about the process. And that interpretation that is coming from the devil is what creates anxiety. Mm. It is not the need for a house that kills you. It's the anxiety that kills you. It's not a need for a child that makes a man drive his wife. It's the interpretation that the devil has given to him, because the devil can walk through your natural senses. And even if though God had given you encounters, revelations, he even woke you up in the night and spoke to you, the name of your son is somewhere. But when the devil begins to interpret through your senses, hey Jesus, when it begins to interpret it, then something is created. That thing that is created based on demonic interpretation is what we call the ailment of the heart. It means your heart has become sick on the account of the fact that you have yielded to the whispers of darkness. Now, anxiety is a symptom of heart sickness. Meanwhile, God says, be thou anxious for nothing, meaning that it is actually within your power to decide to reject that testimony from the devil and thereby coming free from anxiety. Then you will now discover that it was not childlessness that held you bound. It was something other than childlessness, an interpretation that came from a very intelligent personality that knows how our senses function, knows our line of infirmity, and he exploits it along the way as we incline towards a certain necessity. Now, do you realize why prayer people can still fail? Praying so anointed, but that is not a guarantee that he will reach the finish line. Now, so when Ogbe said we should pray, I guess we really need to pray. You see, our estimation of the flesh is not the same that God sustains. We still believe that there's some value in the flesh. Meanwhile, ancients of old that found favor with God knew that the flesh does what? It profits nothing. Except you come to that point when you know that everything that comes from the flesh is contrary to your purpose in life, and you fight the flesh aggressively. There's a tendency that you become a victim of the suggestions of the whispers of the enemy through things like anxiety, the cares of this life. Those are infirmities of the heart. The deceitfulness of riches is an infirmity of the heart. Help me now. Now, don't go. That one is too deep for us to bring here. If I bring that one here, it will take us time to explain. Let's go with the basic ones first. We are not suffering from deep things. We are suffering because of basic things. Pride is complex. Pride is overly complex. But it's an infirmity of the heart. When a man has an estimation of himself, which is not a function of his security in Christ, it's a function of his own maybe he's rating himself on the account of his academic excellence. That is an erroneous form of estimation, because by the time he comes in contact with a situation that is orchestrated against him from the realm of the spirit, his standard academically holds no value whatsoever. Now, so he's living in a mirage. Pride, we don't need to go there now. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the basis of our self-esteem in Jesus Christ is that we have found security in Christ. Now, most of us pray, and you come and stand in your prayer. That's pride. You pray and you stand in your prayer. That's God was showing us our own sickness here. Showing me our sickness. He said most of us pray and stand in our prayer. Now this is spiritual violation. By what means, by what power, by what ability did you pray that prayer? And that's why the power of God doesn't move so much in most of our lives. The level of prayer we have prayed, the commensurate dimension of the power of God that should be moving in our lives now, is far more than what we are seeing. But most of the time we pray and then stand, you believe that God will move because you pray. It's a manifestation of pride. It's actually an infirmity of the heart. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, so we need to pray that prayer very well. Because the spirit realm is structured in such a way that the divine resource that God makes available in order for us to be able to fulfill our destiny in God, the name of it is called grace. Grace is not a product of man. It's a function of the excess of Christ. That's what Jesus is contained with. Anytime you touch grace, it means there is something from Jesus that is ministering to you. And anything you do by grace makes you indebted to Jesus, because it's his resources that you squandered. That's number one. Number two, grace is supposed to make you humble, because the reason why God funds his project is so that no flesh can glory in his presence. And there's only one way that God can get glory from man. The fall did a very terrible thing to us. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm still inviting you to lead us in a prayer. I'm just trying to open up the things that you were striking so that we can see it clearly. He said, be anxious for nothing. It means anxiety is not from God. It also means that you have the authority to decide not to be anxious. It is up to you to choose. It means that anxiety is deception. Anxiety is a pseudo form of knowledge. Anxiety is a distraction. And so he says, under no circumstances will anxiety be accepted as an accurate spiritual response. Are you here? Because anxiety is formulated by the testimony of deceiving spirits, and they take advantage of circumstances and leverage upon our sense of need. Hallelujah. Now let us check some people in the Bible. Are you with me? Now you notice that Abraham was well covenanted. If we're talking about covenant, Abraham was well and heavily covenanted. But his childlessness took 25 years before there was a manifestation. Now my problem is this. When you check the old saints, check the way they function, you will see that they were perfected through patience and long suffering. But you see, we don't have stamina, because we major on things that are errors. Somebody gets married just now, and in 3 months' time is already having family problem. You are fake. In 3 months' time, he's already quarreling. He has hit his wife. You are not deep. You are not a deep Christian. You just speak in tongues. And you know, we need to come back home and really find out what it means to be spiritual. He's not the person that is shouting with the right leg up. He's already having problems. So are they in when he's 25 years old in marriage, he must have battered that lady so much, and the lady would have been frustrated out of life just because he met a man that is not representing God accurately. Meanwhile, before he got into the marriage, he actually prayed about it, and it was a need to him. It was a burden. He was anxious about it. It's time. Time. God help us. Hey. Now, you are praying for a wife. Do you have the character to be able to represent God in the life of a woman? I looked around and God will help us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know how we do it. He will do it, but he will help us somehow. So this man has not released himself for the touch of God. He is anxious that he wants to marry. Anxious. This sister has not walked upon her life. The other day we invited the sister to help us with some cooking because we want to, the cooking. This one is preparing to get married. This is how she can. This. It seems we hide many things in tongues. Maybe we'll do a service where it will be, you are banned from speaking in tongues. Meanwhile, that sister is anxious that other people, they have close friends in a relationship. Somebody just came and they saw her. And me, they are not seeing me. Meanwhile, they're cooking. May the Lord quietly today. You know, God's deliverance doesn't need to be noisy. may he quietly help us. In the name of Jesus Christ. A friend of mine called me and said, yes, God has spoken finally about the lady for him to marry. I visited and he had beaten the lady and the blow had splitted part of her skull. There's a body. And he was quoting scriptures. Ogbe, please, you need to lead that. We need help. Come and finish the prayer point. I just came to support you. That's why I came. It's not, it wasn't time for me to come. But I wanted to support you in this matter. What have you lived your life upon? I've seen a lot of people that is competition, that is the operating system upon which their life is lived. It's an infirmity of the heart. You know, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Because when it takes time and you don't have the virtue of patience and long suffering, the devil will come, set up a platform that is compatible with your flesh, and he will speak to you. My question is this: are you like milk or like wine? Because milk gets spoiled with time and wine gets better with time. The same circumstances that make people that God has not spoken to crash is the same circumstances that make people that God has spoken to rise. So that's why the Bible says that when they say there is a casting down, it is in the same circumstances that will be lifting up. Do you have enough pressure to rise? It means you conquered in silence, so even trouble can make you the governor.
I want us to open to Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5, the Bible says, If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trusted, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Amen? Amen. If you read from verse number 1, you will see the prophet, he looked at a situation. There was a scenario. He evaluated it, and he discovered that the people around him, things were happening around them that was not happening in his life. And the basis of the complaint, the basis of the prayer that he was praying, was what was happening around in the life of the people around that was not happening in him. And then God told him, instead of God to directly answer him, it was another scenario that God brought out. He said, the whole thing that is happening like this, it is human being you are running with that are wearying you. But there is a dimension, there is a dimension that is packaged inside you, that when it is functioning, it has the capacity to make you contend with horses. And then you are not just contending with them alone, but you will overpower them, you will outrun them, you will overdo them. Amen. So this is somebody that was empowered to outdo horses, but the situation that was overpowering him was situation of normal human being. Where he was stumbling was in the land of peace. Meanwhile, he was wired to survive even in the thicket. This evening, I want us to be on our feet and to begin to talk to God. That this dimension, I don't know whether you are understanding what I'm saying at all. There is a dimension with which you are made. There is a dimension with which you were configured. And that dimension, if it is activated, if it is operational, if it is functional, you can outdo poverty and penury. You can outpower lack and scarcity, and it has no ability to dictate the trend of your activities. Amen. I want us to open our mouth and pray. Oh God, the dimension that are packaged inside me, that are meant to make me survive any situation, that are dormant, that are inactive, that are ineffective, that is making me to stumble over what I should stand over. I want us to begin to pray and to demand that those dimensions will be activated. The Bible says one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience, is perseverance, is long suffering, is ability to surmount and to topple every situation that is ugly. I want us to open our mouth. I want you to open your mouth and pray. The one you are doing, you are joking and you are wasting your time. Open your mouth and begin to place demand on the dimensions of God with which you were built, with which you were framed, with which you were figured, in order to overcome, in order to outrun horses, in order to outrun horses. The horse is the sign. Is the sign of power, is the sign of force, is the sign of energy and momentum. But the Bible says you have an inbuilt mechanism in you that if they are functioning, you can perform more than horses, more than horses, more than might itself. I want us to pray and to ask God to bring those dimensions into reality. I want us to pray. I want you to open your mouth and pray. Rekoto shata pata pata. Praya ya 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 ya
Amen. Goliath was a human mountain, and the degree of fear, of paralysis that he was emitting was so strong that he overpowered the entire army of a nation. Their military prowess and expertise was brought to a standstill because of the degree of fear, of frightening and scaring stimulus that was coming out of him. Amen. But there was somebody else that have seen something that what the entire army could not handle because of what God did to him, because of how God opened his eye to see the situation. There is something in English language that is called bird's eye view. The best eye view is the eye view that helps you to oversee, to see over the entire situation. There was a man that was so touched by God, he had a best eye view. And what the entire army could not handle with their machineries and expertise, one boy rose up. I want us to open our mouth and tell God to open our eye and grant us to see as spiritual persons, to see as immortal persons, to see as persons that are operating from the dimension of the immortal, from the dimension of the supernatural, not walking as men and suffering the predicament of ordinary men. I want you to open your mouth and pray. Ask God to empower your senses. Ask God to empower your sight. Ask God to empower your visibility. Lord, we connect to grace. Lord, we connect to this dimension. Lord, we connect to this dimension. Let our eyes be open. Let our senses be living. Let your investment in our lives come alive. Let your investment, the investment of grace, the investment of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Holy Ghost, the potentials of the Holy Ghost, the impartations of the Holy Ghost, the operations of the Holy Ghost, the machineries of the Holy Ghost, the machinations of the Holy Ghost. Let them function. Let them operate. Let them drive us. Let them govern us. Let them administer us. Cause us not to live by the arm of flesh, by our own wisdom, by our own intellect. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Situations is because God cannot be accessed with your natural senses. He has decided that he can only be accessed by faith. And let me tell you something. Proponents of breakthrough, there is always a process that leads to breakthrough. And between and between, the enemy comes to deceive so that the man is deviated from his course. Every form of breakthrough that avoids the corridor of process, the need for patience and long suffering, so that that elevation that you will be receiving, the vanity that is connected to it, will not be able to entice you. That's why process is a prerequisite. In process, you learn patience, and patience is not inactivity. Patience is sticking to the instructions of God and obeying it without the applaud of the crowd, learning how to obey God in secret and without supervision. Now, giving, for instance, most of us are not consistent in giving, because you were expecting that Jesus is a money doubler. He does birudage, a change. That's not how we break into financial blessings. You will be faithful to God in your giving. You will decide what you want to be giving God, and you will stick to it. That's the voice of covenant. Circumstances and situations to violate, that are there to violate your commitment, will show up. But it's by faith that you will continue in spite of the circumstances. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible means when it says, "There that trust in the Lord." enter like Mount Zion. Because of the commitment he has made before God. Being that he is a man and a woman of covenant, even when situations are contrary, and it is not convenient for him to keep on, he will continue. A time comes, because there is always a measurement of our level of compliance, our level of trust in God. It is that process that we go through, obeying God in spite of contrariness of circumstances and situations, that makes us get ranking with God. We occupy a position of favor before him, and then he can commit to us another layer, another dimension that is in his kingdom. By the time he makes you someone that will handle kingdom funds, before you arrive there, you must have gone through a long process. And between and between, the deceiving spirit will be allowed to try your heart. That's what we're saying. So any man, Abraham tarried for 25 years before his son came. But between and between, he created Boko Haram. What will you create? What will you create for your family? What will you create that the devil will use as a tool to afflict anything that bears your name? We went on pilgrimage the other day. Come and see security. Red alert. At the airport, the screening, the kind of questions. Abraham had committed a blunder. And all of his kind will have to pay for his error. Between and between, who will be left standing? The Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith? People that kept on going, obeying God, even when it was not popular, obeying him in darkness and in light. The thing is, this covenant is lacking. Jesus is not a money doubler. He will not give to you because you give. Because the Bible says that a generous man, a good man, deviseth generous things. He will agree in his heart that I'll be giving like this. And he will face the consequences. A time will come when the season shifts. Your ranking in the next season will be higher, because you have been able to take a vow and you did not change your mind even though it was not convenient. The Bible says, who is he that shall ascend into the mountain of God? Who is he that shall stand in his holy place? One of the qualities was he that sweareth to his own heart and he changeth not. Say, God, this is what I will give you. And when it is not convenient, it doesn't change. It takes a process for you to arrive as a product. But before that process is accomplished, you will be given the privilege of tests. That's where even valiance violate the call of God. Even valiance deviate from the path of the Spirit. And many beasts are stared alongside just because men of faith begin to read their lives from the template of their senses. Can we pray and say, Lord, strengthen me with might by your Spirit in the inner man. Strengthen me with might by your Spirit in the inner man. We chicken out too quickly. We throw in the towel too quickly. Once there's a little pressure, it's no longer the will of God. God is not in it again. God has changed. The Holy Spirit has changed. Jesus has changed. And we make God a talkative. Help us. We want to be strong with you. We want to have power with you. And so we ask that you help us. Help us. It is only in magic that process is removed. It is only magic that process is removed. An evangelist can come to town and say, tomorrow it will happen. Then he will carry his crusade equipment and go.
But he will leave the pastor with the people. For the pastor to explain that there's process. The evangelist doesn't say there's process. We don't have men that can stand for God. Once the heat begins to rage, everybody deserts him. Everybody makes a way. Who is left for God to entrust holy things, strong things of the Spirit? Who is left?
Help us, Father. In Jesus' name.